continuing a legacy that was started before their time and holding proudly to their family's name and heritage. The Nelands are here today to connect dots and relive their vast library of hits.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Some of my favorite people, I remember seeing this group as a kid, and I'm telling you, this is a treat. I have been wanting to get them together for so long. In fact, if I can be honest and say that the National Quartet Convention stole my idea and did a Nelands reunion, I came to them and I even went around to all of these former artists that were with you and piano players and all this stuff. I said, next year at the convention is going to be a big year. It's, I believe, it was the anniversary of Rex's death, right?
Right.
Uh-huh. I said, I even went to the convention. I said, let's do this thing. We could do radio. We could have old school microphones. We could have an audience. You could sell a ticket. It would be great. And everybody said, that's brilliant. And next thing I know, you guys were doing it. So I thought, that's pretty good.
Thanks, but, Daniel.
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel.
But when we go back, and we've done this history a little bit as we talked about other, you know, when you talk about the Nelands, I mean, my goodness, there's not many family groups that really kind of have that heritage that far back, I don't think, because if you really start back to the Lefevre Trio,
right,
even back when Eva May was telling us stories when she was a little girl standing up on a street corner singing, you know, that was really the beginnings of it. Lefevre's hired your dad, Kelly.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And
he was with him for 20 years.
And that's just amazing just to see the evolution of all of that to where it is today. And by the way, the Nelands today are Kelly and Jason and Amber. Yeah. And it's good to have you here.
Thank you, Daniel. Glad to be here.
It took us a long time to get here, but we're glad to get here.
Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover, and as I said, there's a lot of hits throughout that, a lot of different makeup of the group. Always been a mixed group, family group, though, mm-hmm. And that's important, the family harmony thing. Sound like a broken record when you talk about gospel music and that. And I said this in the beginning, it was before even your time, Kelly.
Right.
So you grew up and this was normal to you, right?
It was. You know, it took a long time to realize that I was not really a Lefevre because we were all, you know, when the group would go on the road, the families were together a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I felt like I was just a part of them. And I was born the year after my father started with the Lefevres. And I'm not going to tell you what year that was,
right.
But
wow.
But so it's been a while, but it was a great life, and you know, just something that I thought was normal, but growing up and then later seeing what other people said, it was not really normal. But for me, it was all normal. You know, my father left on Wednesday nights to go on the road with the Lefevres. He would come back on Mondays, and a lot of times, you know, they were doing the gospel singing caravan. And mm-hmm. So they would travel to cities right around Atlanta, like Columbus and Macon. And so that was close enough for us to go. And so a lot of times we would be there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Chronicling the history, honoring the legacy, the Nelands, today on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Watching, therefore, you know not the day.
Just inside the free strike, so I'm gonna lay down my head in word.
From 1980, the Rex Neeland Singers. Now let's go back a year, 1979, and More Than Conquerors. This is Daniel, Britt, and Friends featuring the Neelands. Listening to Daniel, Britt, and Friends. We're chronicling the history of the Neelands, talking to Jason, Amber, and Kelly.
So with that, at what age did you really step in and say, this might be for me, or this, I'm just going to try it out? When did you really know? And some people, they don't know for sure until they've given it a few years on the road. What was it like for you?
Well, you know, I just always wanted to sing, always. I can't remember wanting to do anything else but sing. Yeah. I mean, just as a young girl, like the first grade, you know, everybody wanted to be a doctor or a policeman. I wanted to be a singer like my father. You know, I never thought about how that would happen, you know, then in the summertime, when I was 13, one of the girls had left, I believe it was Sharon McNeil. Mm-hmm. She left the group and was getting married, and they called me. We were at home, and my mama told me that they were in Lexington, Kentucky, and they wanted me to fill in for the summer. Oh, my goodness. I was doing cartwheels, and that was it. That was it, wow. You know, from then on. That's all I wanted to do.
Kelly Neeland, honoring the Neelands today, chronicling their history. And, of course, you can't imagine the Neelands without the signature voice of Kelly. This is Daniel Britt and Friends. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, listening to some classic sounds of the Neelands. Here's one that I couldn't find in their discography, but this was on a Gaither homecoming taping in the 90s. Eva Mae Lefevre at the piano, Rex singing lead here, also featuring Mylon Lefevre and Kelly. It's All Aboard.
Come on, 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 come on
You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, remembering the voice of Rex Nealon, chronicling the legacy of the Nealons. And we've done so several times going further back to the Lefevre days. This program and this series that we're on right now, primarily focusing on the Rex Nealon singers that changed the name to simply to be known as the Nealons as we know them today. Jason, Kelly, and Amber around the table.
When you look at what the Nealons are doing today, and by the way, the last couple of albums have been this amazing sound. You know, you say contemporary, and that may scare people who are really devoted to the old sound of gospel music. But when you take Southern gospel and you put the contemporary spin to it, what it is a fresh sound, I think, that you guys have, this harmony that becomes kind of this electric sizzle that's in there somewhere. But it's smooth. And I talked to some guy yesterday. I mentioned the Nealons. He says, I love the Nealons. I think there's something bright, smooth, just that just happens with you guys. And even through all the member changes, as most groups go through, Jason brings a serious musician angle. Not that you're not, Kelly, but would you say that's true?
Oh, yeah. I would say he's a true musician. And it's 24/7. I mean, it never stops. Yeah. Whatever we're doing, it always kind of goes back to that. I mean, we're riding on the bus up here to talk with you, and it was a long, what should have been 5 hours, 7 to 8 hours with a mandolin playing the entire time. I mean, it just never stops. So, you know, it's just something that's just who he is.
Wow. So, Jason, where did you get it? And I know your dad's musical, too.
Yeah, you know, it's all around my family on both sides as well. My dad was the only professional musician in our family, but my grandmother, my dad's mom, was a tremendous talent, is a tremendous talent. She's, of course, because of her physical decline, she's not able to play and sing, hasn't been for years, but she has perfect pitch and would teach all of us to play guitar and things like that, sing, taught us to sing harmony before I could even really remember going to school, you know. And so it was around our family at home in Kentucky. We lived on a farm. Didn't have a lot of things to do. We really didn't have a TV. We had party lines for telephones, all that kind of thing, you know. So we sat around literally just picking guitars and singing music. And that's kind of, that was my upbringing. And I have a passion for music. It's my only pursuit in life. It always has been.
That makes sense. Kentucky, and I remember one of the first singles where you were featured was I Choose the Lord.
That's that's right. Yeah.
Silver and gold. Well, they are much, but if I had to choose, I'd choose his touch, for without it I am sure I'd die. If I had to choose, this is what I cry, I choose the Lord.
So did you introduce that sound?
I think I probably had an influence in that. You know, Rex, he was a big fan of the mountain style music. He loved bluegrass. He loved acoustic instrumentation. And I think we have our sound, especially as of in the last few years, has evolved into more of a rootsy, organic thing. You know, it's definitely not bluegrass. It's definitely not folk. It's kind of, it's just harmony with that kind of music, instrumentation wise. And we're really enjoying that. And we just want to keep the focus on the harmony and the great lyrics, but eclectic music around that has really kind of helped, you know, I think to bring that to the forefront, you know, commercial wise.
And so to give a sample of what we're talking about today, and we're going to hear a lot of the classics too, but the project Come On Home really takes all of what you're doing, culminates it, presents it there on a platter that's served up just nice. So what's a good example? What can we start with?
Well, you know, the song that you were speaking of, we re-recorded it. Might be a good start there.
Right. We brought it back.
The Nealons, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Silver and gold, now they are much. But if I had to choose, I'd choose his touch. For without it, I
this is what I cry. I choose the Lord. He's the one I love. With 10,000 fair ones, He's the fairest of all. I choose the Lord. He's my everything.
And to beat it all, He's the King of Kings. You can search the world, but I've already found that He's more than gold could ever buy. If I had to choose, this is what I'd cry. I'd choose the Lord. He's the one I love. With 10,000
talking to the Nealands today, and we're tracing their history, and we're kind of this is really, I think the way we're doing this interview is not traditional the way I do it. I usually start at the beginning and we end up with today, but I'm trying to bounce back and forth. And I think that's kind of what you've done with the projects here lately. And you've said, let's honor the past, but let's do fresh stuff at the same time. Now, if we go back to, has to be where I grew up in Warner Robins, Georgia. The Red Curtain Warner Robins Civic Center.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
I remember seeing the Nealands there, and I remember Amber was in a white, I don't know.
Frilly.
Frilly, yes. That's good. Yeah, that's what
always frilly.
Yes. You would plop her up there on the stage, and she would sing. I don't know how old she was. I don't know what our age differences are, but, you know, she would sing, and then then you got into the children's projects.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could see that there was something really developing. Sometimes you just put a kid up there because they're cute, and then you never hear much from them again, but not with Amber. And I think we've told her story with the American Idol thing, mm-hmm. and full circle with this family group. I think it shines that it's just a generational thing.
It really is. And yeah, Gloria Gaither said the first time that Amber went to do the kids' videos, which was the Treehouse, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I was 5 years old.
She was five. And the days of taping were long, and all the kids were a lot older than her. Yeah. And matter of fact, during one of the scenes, she fell asleep. But she went in to record her song, and I'll never forget, Gloria came out, and she said, you know what? There's something special about Amber. She wow. said, we were telling her what to sing, and she did this little lick all on her own. You know, it wasn't like Gloria told her to do it. It right. just came out.
Wow.
And Gloria said, there's just something special about her. And I think there always has been.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, when she was 6 months old, I would bring her out. And Karen and I would sit on the bus before I go to that. And we would sing a note, like we would sing a pitch. La. And we'd say, Amber, sing it. She'd go, la. And then we'd change it. La. And she'd go, la. So Amber and Karen and I were like amazed, you know, that a six-month-old could mimic that. And then when she was about 9 months old, we'd bring her on the stage and we'd have her do things like do the lizard where she could stick her tongue out, you know,
she
was always ready, always ready to perform.
And what about rhythm? Do you have rhythm?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
I have rhythm.
Is that important? When the kind of music we're talking about, you don't typically think of rhythm being that important because you're not up there doing a whole lot of choreography or
I think I can speak on Amber's behalf. you know, I produce and arrange music outside of the group for a lot of other artists and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I use Amber a lot of times for background vocals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's brand new stuff. She may not even heard the music or even, you know, have a chart. And I'll sing a line of a rhythm dictation, a syncopated phrase, right, offbeat, maybe really difficult. And Amber's got this incredible music memory. And it just, she just hashes out whatever you to her. She's like a computer. You give it to her, she just puts it right back out so quick in the studio. And that
and
comes
much
because,
better than you give it to her.
Wow. Yes, no doubt. She sings it much better than I sing it to her.
That's funny.
But she has great, a natural rhythm and a natural feel for that, you know.
That's not bad. You know who else was compared to a machine? The droid, David Phelps.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And we love
He's
him.
Amazing.
So, that's not bad at all.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when it calls his church away. Well, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. From a place called Calvary, by the precious blood of Jesus, the tariff's been paid for me. Yes, I'm a going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. And I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when they call this church away.
A more recent sound of the Neelands, that one featuring Amber and those power vocals. Let's go back, though, to 1980, where Janet Paschal takes the lead and I'm the One. Rex Neeland Singers right now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
There lays the crown.
that fell from his head. Oh, the blood is dry on the thorns. There are the sandals they took from his feet. See how they're dusty. There stands a mother in tears, for she's just lost her son. He died on the cross for someone he didn't know, and I just
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And when you start looking through the history of the Nealands, it is simply amazing. The amazing talent, the amazing catalog of songs, the orchestration, the innovation. It's outstanding. Check them out online today at thenealands.com. I'm Daniel Britt, sitting today in the studio with Jason, Amber, and Kelly. The Nealands.
Let's talk a little bit about, because Kelly grew up in this, and this was very close to her. Amber's another generation. But Jason, you're even, I know you've studied the Nealands music. You've been with them now for so long. And what have you noticed about, you know, the 70s and the 80s Nealands? What were they doing that was different in that day that,
well,
you recognize?
I always felt, when I came to the group, I was a bass player. And this was a wonderful place to be for a musician. because the music was challenging. It was interesting musically. And what I felt, even before I joined the Neelands, I was always a fan. They were always on the brink of cutting edge music for the day and the time. Mm-hmm. You know, Rex to me is the gospel version of Johnny Cash. I mean, the coolest guy up there playing a guitar, a tall, handsome guy, a great bass lead voice. And Rex had such an ear for great songs, and he knew how to put a group together with the perfect voices and the perfect timbrance of different tones and blend and things like that. And what I loved about the Neelands was you would take all those elements and they would put that into a 10-song record, and it would just be fabulous, you know. Mm-hmm. And back then, Larry Goss was coming on the scene, you know, and he came from Lefevre Sounds, that kind of that whole Georgia thing, you know. And so it was just incredible for a musician. It wasn't just the 1-4-5 thing for a bass player. It was like you had to really play and become a part of this whole piece of music. And it was gorgeous. And it was great. You know, I loved it.
Well, I'm gonna walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord, so they ain't gonna let old Satan get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting up a little bit higher. I'm gonna walk out of this valley with my Lord.
Now the Lord let down the hedge on Job to try him, took all of his children and everything that he owned. But no, Job didn't sit out and cry. No, he lifted his head up high, came out of that valley. Thank God for the whole lot more.
Well, I'm gonna walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord, so they ain't gonna let old Satan get me down, 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 down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting up a little bit higher. I'm gonna walk out of this valley with my Lord. Old Satan, get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting up a little bit higher. I'm gonna walk out of this valley with my Lord.
Well, I'm gonna walk
right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. So they ain't gonna let old Satan get me down, 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 down.
I'm gonna
walk right out of this valley with my Lord.
The Out of the Box sound for the Neelands continues even today. And the next generation with Amber, Kelly's daughter, singing some great songs, clear messages, outstanding vocal talent. Jason, Kelly, Amber, here are the Neelands. I'm Daniel Britt and friends.
Sound of the Neelands. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. And when you talk about musicians, at some point, you've got to talk about creativity.
One thing that I was a fan, but I didn't know the industry ins and outs of what was going on at that time. But I could recognize then, and I can recognize now, that while nobody would argue that you were not devoted to Southern gospel music, you still had this crossover appeal that people who maybe were not the target audience for a Southern gospel ticket or album were still fans of the Neelands. And I still hear that today, that you guys still have this something that attracts a bigger audience than just what one genre might hold.
And you know what? I like that. And I'm probably guilty of pushing the group back then, especially, to do just a little bit more than just the norm, you know, but I loved it. I loved all types of music. And so Daddy, he would love the bluegrass and more traditional, convention style songs. Mm-hmm. I love the more inspirational songs and Southern gospel, but inspirational. And so he pushed that way and I would push that way. And then we come up with an album that had a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And now I think, and this is, I think, some great advice that we received from Bill Gaither. Him and myself co-produced our last record together. And he just spent a lot of time mentoring us, and especially me musically. And he made the statement, he goes, you know what, my goal is in music, he goes, the vocal band, of course, they're capable of doing so many different styles of music and do it extremely at a high level. But he says, you know, I'm not so concerned with the style as I am to the song. Mm-hmm. And the song, a lot of times, if you'll get great songs and great harmony, it's going to take care of itself musically. The style is going to just be interpreted from that song, you know. And I always thought that's a great approach. We're not, now it's just a natural thing. We don't go after a sound. It just happens, you know. And I think it's more natural, you know.
That's true.
I'm going to keep walking and keep talking. And keep singing in Jesus' name. I'm gonna keep believing and receiving everything that He has for me. I'm gonna keep lifting my voice, clapping my hands, taking all I can to the promised land. I'll keep walking and talking and singing in Jesus' name.
I will serve God's kingdom while I'm in this world. On these earthly pursuits, the kind of gain I'm after is of ultimate use. I'm gonna keep walking and keep talking and keep singing in Jesus' name. I'm gonna keep believing and receiving everything that He has for me. I'm gonna keep lifting my voice, clapping my hands, taking all I can to the promised land. I'll keep walking and talking and singing in Jesus' name.
Jesus came and filled me when I asked Him in. He will never let me fall if I keep my eyes on Him. I have found in Christ everything that I need. They mean nothing to me.
I'm gonna keep walking and keep talking and keep singing in Jesus' name. I'm gonna keep believing and receiving everything that He has for me. I'm gonna keep lifting my voice, clapping my hands, taking all I can to the promised land. I keep walking and talking and singing in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
The Neelands here on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. The unique fresh sounds continue. This from their project, Come On Home.
I have never climbed a mountain, rode the surf off of Waikiki, ridden horseback down the canyon, never sailed the seven seas, never camped out in the Tetons, seen a black girl's passion play, watched Old Faithful in the sunset, walk the islands in the bay.
Scotia, there's a lighthouse rising from the jagged rocks. And in London, there's a craftsman who hand makes a perfect clock.
In South Tucson is a cowboy who can run the wildest steer.
In Seattle, there's an artist painting salt lakes on the pier.
What I have seen are windows.
I'm Daniel Britt. We're listening to The Neelands on this multi-part edition of Daniel Britt and Friends. Hands down, there's got to be a signature song for The Neelands. Want to take a guess? I take a stab at it. Let's listen.
The song that, to me, you may argue differently. I mean, it's your music business. You know your library and your catalog and what sells best. But to me, if I had to say one song that if I can only play one song and say this is who the Neelands are and were and this is the whole package, it would have to be Oh for a Thousand Tongues.
Absolutely.
And that was one that I probably grew up hearing, but it was not maybe until the 90s when you did it on a Gaither video, I think at the Ryman.
Right, we did.
Uh-huh. And I heard it and it was like a click. I've heard this before. This is not 100% Southern Gospel, but it's not 100% contemporary. It's kind of for everybody. It's a song I could imagine singing in church, you know, sure, in a worship service. So tell me about that one and we'll play it.
Well,
where'd it come from?
You know, that right there is will show you what a good idea that Daddy had for songs. I mean, he knew how to pick songs because that's not his type of song.
Yeah.
But I remember when we got the song, he brought it to me. He said, "This is a great song." And I'm thinking, You like this too? Because I loved it. Yeah. And I think the first time that we ever sung this song was in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. When we sung it, the audience went crazy. First time they ever heard it.
Wow.
And it just had all of the elements, you know, of a great song. It was worship and praise to the Lord, but it had the beautiful verses, and then it had the soft where it came down to just us four singing, mm-hmm. and then the big ending. It had everything. So I mean, when we sung it, I'll never forget the night we sung it, and the people went crazy. And it wasn't really it wasn't over us. It was over. We were in the presence of the Lord.
It ushers in the presence of the Lord.
Friends, the sound of the Neelands, that goes down in the history book as an all-time classic for them. Well, this is the bookmark. In part one, we have two more installments of the Neelands on Daniel Britt and Friends. I'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.